And now the Great American Folk Show, a little place where we commune with you to share stories and sing some songs and talk to some good people with great voices. The musical foundation of one of our guests today comes from hanging out in a space that was meant for cars. Yes, I'm talking about a garage band. Lots of bands have gotten their start in garages. I'm talking about the Kinks and the Troggs and the Strokes. Add to that list the Paranoid Style. Elizabeth Nelson from the band is going to rev the engine in just a few. We have a holiday tune from Canadian singer-songwriter and actress Shannon Dukes, plus two duos from London, the genre-bending tones of Memory Phase and Melanie Crew and Ross Palmer, who are inspired from folk's rich and varied bag. I'm Tom Russo. It's great to have you with us today. We begin with a medley from Sam Hinton, the late, great Sam Hinton. He was a historian and a man of the sea, and a total whiz, as you will soon hear, at playing the harmonica. I knew Sam just a little bit when I lived in San Diego, California, and he was so cherished and so beloved in that city that they ended up naming a folk festival after him. No, he passed away some years ago. I think of him often. And I fondly remember the time when my friend Gregory Page and I took him out for a tuna sandwich in Hillcrest. Little tuna sandwich, some chips, and a cup of coffee. Sam used to refer to traditional folk music as tunes from the bad old days of folk, and I love that description. So here's two from his album, Master of the Solo Diatonic Harmonica, his final studio album before he passed away in 2009, an album that I must have listened to 1,000 times and 1,000 times again. Here's Sam Hinton.
Here's a medley of two songs that are both in start off in minor keys. The first one is Rabbi Elimelech, about a rabbi by the name of Elimelech. Rabbi Elimelech is sort of like an old King Cole type of song. It's a cumulative song, and he sends for his pipers and he sends for his fiddlers, and you keep adding things to the song and singing back down through them each time you get to it. Like so many Yiddish folk songs, it starts at least in a minor key. A lot of fiddle music starts off in a major key and then goes into the relative minor. But the opposite happens in a great deal of this Yiddish music. It starts in a minor key and then moves into the relative major. I'm playing it on two harmonicas. It starts off in a minor key, A minor, then it goes into the relative major, the key of C. So I just switch harmonicas. I have one in each hand. It makes it fairly easy to do. I do the same thing on the second piece called Pseudo-Slavian Rhapsody. I made it up myself. Harmonic minor is different from the modal minors in that it has a raised seventh. So here the two pieces are together, Rabbi Elimelech and the Pseudo-Slavian Rhapsody. Thank you.
You just heard a medley from Sam Hinton, a record of his called The Master of the Solo Diatonic Harmonica. I recommend you get this record. One of the tunes was an old traditional Yiddish tune called Rebbe Ilimilie, and another one called Pseudo-Slavian. It's available on Eagles Whistle Music. It's a great American folk show. It's good to have you here. I'm Tom Brusso. And here's that first London duo, Melanie Crew and Ross Palmer, with an old English ballad entitled Our Captain Called All Hands, and a confessional tune that they wrote. It's called The Winning Ticket.
Hi, this is Melanie.
And this is Ross.
And we're going to tell you about our new album, Some Other Stories, and play you a song from it.
This is our second album since we started playing and recording together as a duo. We used to work as solo artists, but we always sang on each other's recordings and sometimes when we played live. And after a while, we were just more excited by singing and playing guitar together than we were by working on our own stuff separately.
We live together in southeast London and we mostly record at home, so we turn the spare bedroom into a studio a few times a year to record acoustic guitar or drums. We prefer to work in our house rather than in the studio because it takes the time pressure away. You can always do another take or try again tomorrow. Sometimes we'll be disturbed by our cat when she wants attention or food, but mostly we're able to record in peace.
Some Other Stories contains 11 songs that we wrote ourselves and one arrangement of a traditional English song. We think the album has a little bit of all the different kinds of songs that we write. There are a few songs with an early 1970s kind of feel. There are some chord sequences that you only pick up from listening to the Beatles or Elliott Smith. And there's some fingerpicked guitar in non-standard tunings, as well as some fiddle, some double bass, and some organ and piano.
Neither of us play violin, double bass, or keyboards, so adding those instruments to the arrangements gives us a chance to work with some of our friends from the London folk and acoustic scene, which is just overflowing with talented people. And that's one of the most fun things about recording. It's great when you have a complete vision for a song and you're able to follow it all the way through, but it's even better when you put it into someone else's hands and they take it in a slightly different direction, making it even better than you imagined.
So here's a song from Some Other Stories. It's called Winning Ticket. Lyrically, it's about how big a role in our lives is played by luck or by chance. And it's also a sort of plea that those people who really go after prestige and success in this life at the expense of other people will be denied it, and that those who live their lives a little more humbly might be rewarded.
Winning Ticket was the first song completed for Some Other Stories, and it went into our set straight away, so it almost feels like an old song now, but it's one that we still really enjoy playing and singing, and we hope that you enjoy it too.
Begin the falling through the fabric of time, the space expanding within my mind. I don't recall anymore which memories are mine, patterns that I can't define. What no one tells you while you're looking for clues. Those who are desperate to win are destined to lose. What does it matter when you can't even choose? Whose winning ticket is whose? Evening is coming, there's no one around. The voices are fading, the sun's going down. I don't get out anymore to the center of town. That's not where I can be found. What no one tells you while you're making your way. Those who are desperate to leave are fated to stay. What does it matter when you can't even say which day will be the final day? Clues. Those who are desperate to win are destined to lose.
What does it matter when you can't even choose? Whose winning ticket is whose? Whose winning ticket is
who? Singer-songwriter Janie Price records music under the name Bird. In the background, that's her take on Dylan's Lay Lady Lay. But as a filmmaker, she goes by Janie Price. Earlier this year, her second short premiered, You Found a Friend in Elvis is the title of it. It's a mythical tale of when Roy Orbison saved the body of Elvis Presley from a pack of thieves. And this short placed in quite a few festivals, the Bay International Film Festival, the Fayette Film Festival, the Disappear Here Film Festival, and others. A really great film. Good luck, Janie, on that film. Back to her musical side. Bird is her name. Her latest single explores the gap between expectation and reality, which, from one side to the other, could be a short distance, or it could be a million miles. You never know with that. Well, let's take a listen. The song is called The Film. If you're just tuning in, a big warm greeting to you from me, Tom Brousseau. It's a Great American Folk Show. It's great to have you here. Some really cool stuff from a band I've loved for over 10 years from Washington, D.C., called the Paranoid Style. They've received tons of love since they first started releasing albums, and I can't imagine they ever received a bad review in their lifetime, but if they did, well, as Lennon once said. Give me a tube, and I'll paint you a painting. No use in listening to anyone say whether or not a thing is good or bad. Don't fall for that. Elizabeth Nelson of The Paranoid Style joins us now to set up her live session and talk about the idols whom she has hanging from her bedroom walls, Linda Ronstadt and Warren Zevon.
I hear mariachi static on my radio, and the tubes they glow in the dark, and I'm there with her in Ensenada, and I'm here in Echo Park. Carmelita, hold me tighter, I think I'm sinking.
Hello, my name is Elizabeth Nelson, and I am the singer-songwriter for The Paranoid Style. It's been a glorious month for me watching my songwriting idol, Warren Zevon, finally inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by no less a dignitary than David Letterman. If you'll oblige me, I'd love to talk a little about Zevon and a little about Linda Ronstadt. I guess you could say I like songs where a lot of things happen. A lot of things happen in Warren Zevon's songs. Say, a man goes home with a waitress who turns out to be a Russian spy, which isn't necessarily so bad, except that it turns out he owes a massive sum of money to a gambling concern in Havana, which is maybe why, or why not, the waitress has gone home with him. It occurs to him that this might be what they call in spy movies and noir books a honey trap. Well, the man can't be totally certain what's really happening. He's very paranoid, after all, and not a fully rational actor, but he has sense enough to know when to run. So, he takes off for Honduras, which is where he is hiding, sending desperate telegrams to his father begging for help. Send lawyers, guns, and money, he pleads over the chorus. Pretty good story if you want to ask me, and it all takes place over 3.5 rollicking minutes.
The has hit the fan.
Zevon's songs are full of bad choices, so many that you wonder if he's capable of making good choices at all, or if he considers good choices cowardly. There's the one, Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me, where he brings a woman to his room in the Hyatt House, and she rearranges him like a wearing blender, and that's just the part he's willing to discuss. Linda Ronstadt sang that song, Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me, and made it her own. I love everything about Linda Ronstadt. She's my hero. But I love when Linda Ronstadt sings about thwarting Jeopardy. Listen to her make mincemeat of a painfully inflated male ego on her cover of Elvis Costello's Party Girl.
They say I'm nothing but a party girl. Just like
rumor has it, Mick Jagger himself challenged Ronstadt to cover the Stones' Tumbling Dice at a backstage encounter. Impossibly, her version is sleazier than the original. So these are two songs I wrote for Linda Ronstadt. The recently released Paranoid-style single It's a Dog's Breakfast from our forthcoming album, Known Associates, could actually be a tribute to both Ronstadt and Zevon, Warren's acid wit and Linda's emotional escape artistry. A lot of things happen in this song. Say a lady gets stranded and can't find the number for her attorney, even though he supposedly worked the night shift. Days in purgatory, days in jail. You're either on parole or you haven't been caught yet. The unreleased outtake, Still Creepy After All These Years, is both a cheap Paul Simon joke and what Linda's life was like in the industry for more years than I could personally handle. When she changed the first lyric of Tumblin' Dice to People Try to Rape Me, that was just strict reportage. Open up anywhere in her frequently revelatory memoir Simple Dreams and she's fending off something stupid and awful. I'm incredibly fortunate to be backed by a brilliant band of known associates, including Timothy Bracey, Matt Douglas, Peter Holzapfel, John Langmead, William Matheny, Mike Venatola Montavani, and my infinitely patient engineer and co-producer, Jason Richmond. Thanks to the Great American Folk Show for having us.
No matter if you think you're clever, I was nothing when we met. You expressed that sentiment, the subtle changing of the weather. Do you remember all the names of all the people you dismissed when you briefly got on a heater? Do you remember all the tricks that you had to turn just to end up as a casino greeter? Creepy after all these years, still so. here. When I think of Indiana and all the things that I experienced there, I hope that all the misers and the alleged advisors aren't so creepy after all these years. Still so creepy after all these years. Success?
Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrist Charitable Trust, the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, First State Bank of Golva, and Minkota Power Cooperative, helping meet the electricity needs of rural member cooperatives in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Our power is our people. More information at Minkota.com. I received an email 5 days ago from somebody asking me when I'd start playing Christmas music. And it kind of did. Well, not Christmas music so much, but December music, Hanukkah music. We started the show with a Sam Hinton tune, an old Yiddish song that he played on the harmonica called Rebbe Elimelech. While it's not really a Hanukkah song, I don't know. I like to think that it gets the party started. Hanukkah's coming up, you know. But yes, of course, Christmas music. Anyway, this email that I received came from a listener in Taos, New Mexico. And by the way, I love Taos. I wasn't there that long ago, and I had one of the most unbelievable plates of green chilies I've ever had in my life at a little place called Doc Martin's. So good. Can't wait to visit Taos, New Mexico again real soon. But in my response to your inquiry, Harriet from Taos, New Mexico, I got one for you right now. It's from Shannon Dukes, singer-songwriter from Canada. Nice little new tune that she wrote entitled Old Christmas Tree.
Ooh, old Christmas tree, here we are, another year behind us. All the bulbs and all the lights, this is what this time does. Unwrapping precious pieces that have me looking back. With all of these indelible memories of the past, of everything. And all the lights, this is what this time does. The room is filled with voices, some are here and some are not. Poinsettias, bows and ribbons, angel watching from the top. This is what this time does. Christmas tree, here we are, another year behind us.
It's a great American folk show. My name is Tom Brusso. Thanks for listening today. Keep it right here, wherever you may be listening from. You know, somebody told me the other day, besame mucho. I feel like I've got to pass that on to you right now. Besame mucho. We're going to keep it going with something pretty chill. The London duo Memory Phase is on deck. Their live session consists of two atmospheric acoustic ditties. It's kind of the perfect thing to be listening to whilst walking down High Street.
Thanks for getting us on. We're Memory Phase. My name's Waz.
And I'm Tom. It's great to be on the show.
A little bit about us. So we met a few years ago at an experimental music festival called Terraforma in Northern Italy.
Yeah, and then we started making music together shortly afterwards. We sort of started playing music in Waz's house in the Wales. And
we both live in southeast London. And we've got a studio. We've got both got an individual studio in Greenwich, in an area called the Design District. Kind of ever since we've been in the same space.
So this EP that we've been releasing this year, with the rest of the EP, well, the final track of the EP to come out in January, was largely created out of kind of improvisations, either started by Waz or by myself, and then often those were recorded as voice notes, which we kind of sent back and forth between our phones. So, for example, maybe Waz would send me a guitar riff or chord progression on the piano, and then I would write a top line, and then we would work on the song structure together, kind of sending back voice notes, and then meet up in the studio and start to get the recording together.
It's a very kind of collaborative and fluid writing process, which, I mean, I've only now, you know, as of last week, we both went to the antisocial camp, which was interesting, but I realised that that's not a normal way to write. Most writing is much more, you know, kind of like a specific role, and then you're the producer, the songwriter, or you're the artist, and you kind of are very much in those things. The interesting about our project is both of us are doing all of those three roles, like, kind of interchangeably.
Yeah, almost simultaneously.
Yeah, exactly. Which, I don't know, it works for us, and fortunately we have a lot of shared taste, so it works well, and it makes it really fun to kind of get in the studio each week and just kind of get working.
Yeah, make music together. So, yeah, we hope you enjoy this track, Separate.
Too young to learn, not too young to learn, not to hear in the words, only a
during the show's infancy, I guess you could say, I asked one of my favorite songwriters to be on the program. Herman Doon is his name. He's an artist. He's a compulsive music listener, just like me. He plays the guitar. He's a talented guy. And I held on to a few of the tunes that he sent in way back then to air at a later date. And here we are, almost 5 years to the day that he sent all that stuff in. Heartbroken and Free is one of those tunes. It's a tale of love, and it's set in cool, tall, and wavy Los Angeles, California. I admire Herman as much as I do because he gives all that he's got, and he doesn't even bat an eye. I mentioned he constantly listens to music, and you can hear some of the cliches he's gleaned from his study of pre-rock and roll. The opening riff to the tune that you're about to hear could belong to anybody, or I'll be damned if it's not a cliche riff from the Ink Spots catalog. I don't know. I'm kind of a guy who's naturally heartbroken, and you know I'm free. I have to admit, it's an interesting combination. But here's Herman Doon with that tune, Heartbroken and Free.
When I fold, please carry me under the yellow peach tree where bad omens stop scaring me and I'm home. Heartbroken and free. And if you see my neighbor, tell her I drove down to the LA River, where the waters are brown. When I fold, please carry me under the yellow peach tree where bad omens stop scaring me and I'm home. Heartbroken and free. Heartbroken and free. Heartbroken and free. And in the evening, the last remaining hue, as the sun is sinking, is of the deepest blue. When I fold, please carry me under the yellow peach tree where bad omens stop scaring me and I'm home. Heartbroken and free. Heartbroken and free. Heartbroken and free. To my baby, to Los Angeles, where some are bound to suffer and others aim to please. When I fold, please carry me under the yellow peach tree where bad omens stop scaring me and I'm home. Heartbroken and free. Heartbroken and free. Heartbroken and free.
Musical losses seem to come in threes.
Sitting here in limbo, but I know it won't be long.
couple weeks ago, reggae icon Jimmy Cliff passed away. Not only did his golden voice make classics like Many Rivers to Cross, Sitting in Limbo, and You Can Get It If You Really Want, Come Alive, and Transcend, but he starred in the Jamaican outlaw classic movie The Harder They Come. Then this week we got word that Stax Records and Booker T and the MGs guitarist Steve Cropper died at 84 years old.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
Known for his lean, crisp licks behind soul classics like Sitting on the Dock of the Bay by Otis Redding, which he co-wrote, as he did with In the Midnight Hour. Steve was famously called out on Sam and Dave's Soul Man. And in between Jimmy and Steve, we lost a unique singer-songwriter and funny character, too. Producer Eric Dethridge has more with his Prairie Public feature, What Mike Olson is Playing.
My connection to Todd Snyder dates back to 1994. I was hosting a show on KFJM in Grand Forks, what was then known as Northern Lights Public Radio. Later it folded into the Prairie Public family. Into the music legend, Mike Olson was my boss, and one CD he was pretty keen on was Songs for the Daily Planet. I took a listen, and Todd had me on the first track, My Generation Part 2, a sort of response to The Who.
Here's to living off that as long as you can, and blending in with the crowd. Oh, my generation, my generation.
Cute, I thought. Gen X, which I belong to, deserved a little satirizing at the time. Speaking of that, I wasn't really wise to the guy until Mike led me to a bonus track on the album, one that wasn't even listed, but that you had to fast forward through a lot of dead space on the Sony CD player to find. The payoff, though, was hilarious. A send-up of the Seattle grunge scene that seemed to be churning out brooding, flannel-wearing bands like Chicken Nuggets.
Well, they made us do a video, but that wasn't tough, because we just filmed ourselves smashing stuff. It's kind of weird, because there was no music, but MTV said they'd love to use it. The kids went wild, the kids went nuts. Rolling Stone gave us a 5-star review, said we played with guts. We were scoring chicks, taking drugs, and we got asked to play MTV Unplugged. You should have seen it. We went right out there and refused to do acoustical versions of the electrical songs that we had refused to record in the first place.
And because we didn't have a delay button at the time,
then we smashed our...
Every time I played talking Seattle grunge rock blues, I had to be ready to pot down an offending word. Mike Olson kindly marked the time on the CD case until I committed it to memory.
B-double-E-double-R-U-N, Beer Run.
Funny, witty, self-effacing, hardscrabble stoner singer-songwriter was from Portland, Oregon originally. He then moved as a late teen to Austin and eventually Memphis, where he was discovered by Jimmy Buffett, who put him on his Margaritaville label.
A couple of frat guys from Abilene drove out all night to see Robert Earl Keen at the K-Pix. Wine and soiree dance, wore baseball caps, khaki pants. They wanted cigs, so to save some money, they got one off a hippie that smelled kind of funny. The next thing they knew, they was both really hungry and pretty thirsty too.
Later on, Todd's hero John Prine inked him to a deal on his Oh Boy Records. Now, aside from John Prine, one of Todd Snyder's other big influences was Kris Kristofferson, who once told the New York Times that Snyder was as poetic of a writer as anybody, and that Todd's words could move you emotionally in the direction that he wanted, but without you being actually conscious of it. Very high praise from one of the greatest.
Friend of a friend from work came in. I never had known what to make of him. He had always seemed to be so insincere to me. You know, I've always been afraid of a 12-step crowd. They laugh too much, talk too loud, like they all know where everyone should be.
After moving to the emerging off-Opry artist community in the Music City, Todd became affectionately known as the Mayor of East Nashville. He became known for mentoring and nurturing and helping out other artists. In fact, many are singing his praises on social media. I owe my career to Todd Snyder. I was down and out. He let me open a show. He gave me songwriting tips. The love for Todd Snyder is just pouring out. The crowning achievement of his time in Tennessee had to be East Nashville Skyline, which came out in 2004. That record produced one of many self-effacing anthems.
Tree-hugging, love-making, pro-choice and gay wedding, widespread digging hippies like me. Skin color blinded, conspiracy minded, protesters of corporate greed.
Todd battled demons on stage. His concerts recently have been reportedly erratic and off, including an addiction to OxyContin. And by now, you may have read accounts about a supposed assault on him in Salt Lake City recently. Now there are some questions as to the truthfulness of his account and his entering a hospital there for treatment and then being kicked out for allegedly being belligerent to the staff there. But not too long after, he succumbed to pneumonia, according to his family, and was dead at the age of 59.
Yellow rose, wake old moon, quit too late, die too soon. Woman with a needle and a silver spoon, hold up singing the devil's tune.
Now, like a lot of troubadours and rock stars, Todd Snyder lived a hard life offstage, almost so he could deliver the goods night after night of hilarious and tender songs. It was hard for him to separate the professional from the personal. That's what he was all about. Todd Snyder, you can hear his collection on Into the Music with Mike Olson. Listen on the radio between 9 and 10 a.m. and noon to 6 weekdays, and on our Roots Rock and Jazz stream at prairiepublic.org, or ask a smart speaker to play us. To quote another one of Todd's self-effacing anthems, he certainly was an all right guy.
And that's our show for today. Thank you for listening. And we'd like to thank our guests, Melanie Crew and Ross Palmer, Janie Price, The Paranoid Style, Shannon Dukes, Memory Phase, and Herman Dune. And also a special thank you to Eagles Whistle Music for allowing me to play those first two songs by Sam Hinton. Adam Miller, thank you for giving us that distinct honor. Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrus Charitable Trust, the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, First State Bank of Golva, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative. My name is Tom Brusseau, and I want you to find that lucky old sun until we meet again.